We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Along with Bruce Levine, I am Mark Brody on Inside the Clubhouse here with you for one more hour until 11 o'clock. And there is proof of Steve Rosenblum and Saturday suckage coming up after us today. Coming up on this program as well, the most important segment of the show still to come, and that will be Chin Music a little bit later on. But we have a very excellent guest joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com.
The man at Fox TV, the man at The Athletic. When I grow up someday and want to be a great sportscaster and writer, I hope to be Ken Rosenthal someday. But lucky enough, we have Ken Rosenthal with us as our guest. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for taking some time out today.
Good morning, Bruce, but you are way too kind.
Well, I don't think so.
You're doing okay.
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm up on the ropes. I'm rope-a-doping, hoping to find a break down the line here somewhere. But thanks again for joining us. And I guess let's just jump into the Chicago Cubs. Your thoughts on the Cubs under Craig Counsell with the one-third poll of the Major League season just winding up right now?
I would say tough to judge. And the reason I say that is because of all the injuries that they sustained. And frankly, to be three games over right in the middle of the NL Central race, considering what has happened with Suzuki and Bellinger and Steele early and then Swanson later and some others, it's actually pretty impressive. I know they have some bullpen issues. I know they have some offensive issues at times, but they seem to be right where they want to be. I can't believe Milwaukee. I believe it because it's happened. It's been 50 games now.
I agree.
But they have shocked me, and it's a tribute to them, obviously. But can their pitching hold up throughout the summer? I have real doubts.
You don't think the pitching is going to hold? Now, why? What makes you say that?
Milwaukee's pitching?
Yeah.
It's just they've lost too much. They've had injuries. Their rotation has been just decimated. Now, they've had some interesting things happen. Gasser's come up and done well, of course. But Miley's out. They've had other things happen. Burns traded. Woodruff injured. Peralta is an ace. He's legit. But beyond that, not great. Their bullpen, Devin Williams will come back. That will help, of course. But the overall depth, it's a little smoke and mirrors for me.
Yeah.
And they're doing this with offense. It's more power to them. They're amazing. They're one of my favorite teams, actually, in the sense of getting the most out of what they have. And they're doing it again, even without Counsell. And that's what's so interesting to me. Because if you think about it, they've lost David Stearns the last few years. Now they've lost Counsell. They keep rolling as if nothing happened.
Yeah, Pat Murphy, you know, is pugnacious and has been there. And he's one of those guys in baseball that some people swear by, some of them swear at. But the reality is he's a really good baseball guy, and he's really kept it going. I mean, if you're going to have a one-third poll for a manager of the year in the National League, he's going to be right up there. So, you know, all credit to him. Kenny, when you look at Major League Baseball right now, and I really thought the last 2 years have been outstanding, phenomenal. Time of game has come down. Hitting started to move up again to the 240s, up toward 250. And now we're back to pitching dominating again. And in this, my humble opinion, a little bit more boring because of the dominating pitching. Where is the hitting gone this time, Kenny? Where are we going to find the slug? So many guys sitting there on two home runs that hit 30 or 40 last year. Where is this all at in your mind?
Bruce, that's a great question, and it's so interesting that you bring it up because I've been thinking about this. I saw some numbers the other day that indicate really – we're exactly where we were 2 years ago offensively at this time of year, and that was before the rule changes, right? The banning of the shift and the stolen bases and all the things that changed, and they were changed in part to juice offense. it happened last year to a degree, but now we're back to square one, it seems. And I don't know that it's a bad thing. I agree. I'd like to see a little more offense, but the pitching is so good. And what they've done through analytics and tech and all of the different elements that have been introduced to the game in recent years, it's made it tougher. The hitters have not had the same kinds of benefits, I guess, and that is a challenge. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that we need to form a judgment just yet, because obviously, and people in Chicago and the Midwest and the North Midwest know this better than anyone, the weather hasn't been great. So we'll see what happens. But compared to the same stage 2 years ago, we're back to square one, as I said. So that is a little bit concerning. I'd like to see a little bit more this season, see if it reverses a little bit, because I would think the way pitchers are used and the injuries that have taken place, that will have an effect on these pitching staffs, and not a great one. It'll be a detrimental effect, and maybe that will even things out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it has been excruciating to watch the Cubs, and it's good to hear from what Bruce is saying and what you are saying, Ken, that this is an MLB problem and a lot of guys are not hitting what they should be. All of a sudden, the Cubs, their bullpen had been a big problem early. Now they're starting to get their act together. The Cubs are getting some, maybe you could say, improbable starting pitching performances from Shota Imanaga and Javier Assad. And the more I think about it and hearing you guys talk, the Cubs may be in better shape than I thought, as excruciating as it is that they're not hitting right now. And also not to mention, too, Ken, that some of these guys are probably going to get their acts together on the Cubs hitting.
Right, and it is a global problem for the sport. It's not just the Cubs. If you want to look at some other teams, look at the Texas Rangers, right? Offensive juggernaut last year. We all thought they'd be even better this year. They had the kid Wyatt Langford coming up. Evan Carter would be in his first full season, and it has not happened for them. They have really struggled offensively. Cincinnati Reds, I'm with them today. Cincinnati Reds, LA Dodgers on Fox tonight. They were supposed to be an offensive machine. They have struggled mightily offensively. Finally scored 9 last night. And I can go pretty much right down the line. The Mets are another team. Now, there are some teams, obviously, that are really good offensively. But there are a number of teams that aren't, that were supposed to be better. So it's not just the Cubs.
Kenny, in closing, and Mark and I appreciate you coming on so much. No, it's a busy day for you. When you look at the Chicago White Sox, the conundrum they are in, what do you make out of the ability for Chris Getz to get this team to be better quicker? We can just state that at Birmingham they have what looks like a lot of good young pitchers coming on. In your mind, what kind of trades can they make coming up here that might be impactful for them?
Well, they've been pretty open about how they'll listen on anyone, and that's the right approach to take. Now, do you trade Luis Robert? Probably you're not going to get for him what you would want right now because of all the injuries. Can you trade Eric Fetty? That's a different story, and he's a guy that I think at the deadline would command a good bit of interest. I would trade all the veterans that you can, the guys on shorter deals, Tommy Pham, obviously, and that's been a good signing for them. But in general, they need to keep doing the kinds of things that they've started to do. Develop better, which it seems to be happening, as you said, Bruce. Make trades that can add to the young core and just get it going. And it's painful. It's hard. And I know White Sox fans, I'm sure, do not want to hear it because they've waited long enough. But at the same time, this organization needs a restart. And that's kind of what they're going through right now. So I don't know how you see it, Bruce, but it just seems to me they have no choice but to explore every avenue they can.
Read Kenny in The Athletic. Listen to him on Fox. I appreciate it. Mark appreciates it. Thanks so much, Kenny. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, which is our home away from home always. Take care of yourself.
Sounds great, Bruce. You too. Take care, guys.
All right, see you. That is the one and only Ken Rosenthal. Eric Fetty, by the way, pitching for the White Sox today, entering at 4-1 with a 3.10 ERA. He's got to keep that up.
Would you trade Garrett Crochet?
Hmm.
And give me a reason one way or the other.
No, because I actually see Garrett Crochet as part of the core for this White Sox team. I think that he's a guy, obviously it was not Chris Getz's guy, but Garrett Crochet has been, I want to use the word revelation because I'm not shocked that he's having success. I know he's fallen off a little bit. The answer is no, I would not. I'm not interested in trading Garrett Crochet.
Surprisingly, he's been on the major league roster for a long time.
Since the pandemic.
Right. So you don't have as much control over his contract as you wish you did. You wish you had 6 years. You don't. Okay. So that's the only caveat for me. For me, I agree with you. You know, Crochet is what you want all your pitchers to be, dominant. They're getting better. I look at his delivery now compared to the spring training in the beginning of the season, far and away much improved. You know, compliments to Ethan Katz and the White Sox for straightening that out. He's a north-south thrower now. He was kind of east-west with his body falling off the mound originally and trying to throw as hard as he could. He's transformed into a pitcher in a very short period of time.
He was on the Apple broadcast last night, the Orioles and White Sox. Orioles win that game by 2 runs, and they did the live in-game update. He said a couple of things I thought were really interesting. One of them was that the guy that he kind of really looks up to and even scouts at times, he actually said that, and we're talking about Carlos Rodon, that he went back and watched Carlos Rodon pitch against the Orioles or a couple of the teams that he has faced because they have similar stuff. He also says that the other guy is another former White Sox player who he models his game after is Chris Sale.
Who did you look up to growing up? Because your stuff is elite. And even when you were in the bullpen, I was like, man, he has the characteristics of a starter that can get a lot of swing and miss.
Yeah, growing up, you know, Kershaw was obviously the guy. But when it came to modeling my slider, I definitely looked to Chris Sale for that. And then, you know, as I got to college, you know, the comps started coming in for, like, draft comparisons. And I looked to Andrew Miller a little bit in that regard. So it was kind of across the board, you know. When I was in middle school and stuff like that, I wasn't really a huge baseball fan. You know, I was just kind of playing for the love of the game. But as I kind of started to see some growth and development, I definitely kind of latched onto those three guys.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool that what he was able to take away with those former White Sox players.
Yeah, it's nice that he names some of the more awesome pitchers.
Kershaw.
Rodon is a nice, surprising guy that he alludes to, because Rodon's career with the White Sox was so much like some of the position players that have just, you know, supposed to be a star, has star ability, and can't stay on the field. You know, Rodon was hurt every single year of his career. When he was out there, he was flat out dominant. Mm. You know, but the reality is that he has this crazy dominant slider. He still has 97, 98 left-handed, which is far and away more than you need being a left-hander, which they're always harder to pick up for hitters, regardless if they're left or right-handed hitters. So, Mark, you know, again, Crochet's the guy, you know, thank you very much. We need you here for the next couple of years. Regardless, this is what we want our pitchers to be. And if you have a chance to talk to him, as you heard in that interview, he's a tremendously engaging guy as well.
Let me ask you a question about the White Sox. Michael Kopech, who has been very good, did not have a good night last night, giving up the two-out, two-run double to Adley Rutschman, who came in as a pinch hitter in that spot and hit a line shot that scored two. Did you trade him, like, right away?
If I'm the Orioles.
You try to acquire
Adley.
They're
so good that Rutschman can sit on the bench and they can win a game with his pinch hit, right?
It's pretty unbelievable. Yeah. How about the way the game ended last night? Colton Cowser going over the wall, being plugged into the game and ending it. So.
Here's the thing. I was having lunch with Steve Stone yesterday.
Name drop.
And we talked about the fact that To get really good for a long period of time, you really have to stink for a while.
Seriously.
And Kansas City is starting to show that this year. Very up-and-coming team right now. Houston did that to set this last 7 or 8 years where they've been dominant. Before that, for 6 years, they were awful. the Baltimore Orioles were awful for six or seven years, and now these are dominant teams. Okay, they built through draft, they've built through trades, exactly what the White Sox are trying to do in a different way than they did the previous rebuild. Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn did a good job of making trades to bring in the players from Washington, the players from Boston for a Sale and for Adam Eaton. You know, Adam Eaton deal was a fantastic deal. Brought him
Giolito.
Three major league Giolito.
Ronaldo,
right? Yeah. and Dane Dunning, who's pitching for Texas. So fantastic trades. But the long-term view is the minor league system wasn't quite there. So with that in mind, these teams who stunk for a long time are now the jewels of Major League Baseball as far as, hey, we want to be like the Orioles. We want to be like Houston. Okay, well, are you prepared to stink for that long? And more importantly, can you draft properly? Can you trade properly to make yourself a dominant team?
It's unbelievable when you go through the Baltimore Orioles lineup. Like, every guy is a top 20 pick. A lot of them are top 10 picks. I think the only exception is the guy that's leading the major league in home runs this year, and that's Gunnar Henderson, who had a big night last night, had an oppo home run last night, and he was a second round pick. But yeah, that's the key, man, doing it right. And we saw it on the north side as well. The Cubs did what they did. They allowed themselves to lose 100 games practically 2 years in a row, and they drafted all the right players, and they all ended up on the Cubs, and they ended up winning a World Series. It's not that simple. I mean, I know that unfortunately we have the comp right here in our backyard for the White Sox, but we all assume. And I'll tell you what, man, when they did put that core together that was supposed to win for the White Sox, I bought in. I think a lot of people
I think everybody did.
Yes.
But the way that it unraveled was shocking. It's still shocking that they went from one of the top teams in baseball in a year and a half to being one of the worst, okay? Obviously, the last part of last year was predicated on the fact that they traded their entire pitching staff at the trading deadline, and they got worse, okay? But the reality is now the White Sox are going to have to wait for those really great young pitchers they hope are coming from Birmingham and are going to be ready to solidify. In their mind, the rebuild starts with pitching, pitching, and more pitching. If we have dominant pitching, if we can get three or four of these guys to major league level and they're that good, even if we've gone out there and gotten 15 of these guys, we can compete and we can plug in as we move on. So that is where the White Sox are going. For White Sox fans, very difficult to see at this moment in time.
Couple of White Sox text messages coming in here at 312-644-6767, and feel free to call that number as well. You guys are always open on Inside the Clubhouse. 312-644-6767, 708 for the right haul. The Sox need to only trade for top-level position players. So that goes up against what you were saying there, Bruce. You think we are back to the pitching era. Because back when it was, you know, the Theo rebuild, that, to oversimplify, that was getting guys who could hit the ball over the wall.
Is Montgomery a shortstop? If not, I want to trade for a shortstop, okay? Are any of the other position players going to be dominant players? Okay, I want a dominant shortstop. I want a dominant center fielder. I want a dominant catcher. If you have those, for me, the rest is about pitching. I think you can plug in the rest. You have to have those. You have to have good defensive players, okay? I don't argue that position players are important. To me, the game is still pitching. It always will be. Look at the numbers right now. It'll tell you everything you know. OPS is at an all-time low since 1989 in this year, okay? If you believe in OPS and you believe that's the way to construct a team with good players and winning, it's at its lowest in 36 years.
Bruce, stand by here because we have a moment that's about to occur here on Inside the Clubhouse. We have a guest joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircusLasVegas.com, is Bruce Levine and Mark Grody. Caller, please identify yourself.
What's up, Bruce? How you doing, buddy?
It's Ozzie Guillen, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Listen to you guys to learn something about baseball.
Oh, yeah?
Wow, what a big mistake on your part.
Oh, hey, you know, I just listened to one of the best writer in baseball talk to you a couple minutes ago. I think this guy's, I have more respect for him than anybody else. I think, you know what? White Sox, they're doing well, I believe, in the next couple of years, but they got to change the game from power to a lot of speed. Do you see Baltimore Ball Club?
Right.
You see Cincinnati Reds, the way they create runs. You know, they have Santander. It's not hitting well, but people have to just start changing the game from speed, pitching, and defense, because home run, they're going to come along. Depending who you are, what you do. But I think I always say speed, pitching, and defense win more games, and I think that's what the White Sox, they loaded by pitching, and I hope Chris Head continue to load it with more pitching. The trade coming,
yeah.
There's no doubt they had to make a trade. It's not an easy job, because sometimes you trade the guy you love, you trade the guy you should keep. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and I think Chris Gett doing a tremendous job so far about putting a team together in the minor league. I know talk about the big league level, because what they do right now, I think signing a couple guys, it was a win-win situation for them. But I think what they do in the minor league level is outstanding. One thing about it, what Chris Gett do the job, but they had development of those guys. They had to go out there and make sure they teach those guys the right thing to survive a pitch in the big league. A lot of times they say, hey, yeah, we got prospect, we got this, we got that. But in the end of the day, when they come to big league, they know what development the right way. And I think having Bannister down there, being in big league before, I think that will help the White Sox young talent on the mound.
Ozzie, a top shortstop, top center fielder, and pitching, you agree with my theory, or do you think you have to look for speed before you look for defense?
Well, those three guys is very important, especially shortstop, center field, second base, pitcher, and catcher. You know, that's the middle of the lineup. That's the middle of the everything. But you look around, you know, when Atlanta Braves was there, they have a Wacy, they have Booney, they have, to me, the best center field in the history of the game, to me. I never see that many center fielders. Andrew Jones, they had Lopez. But it's one thing about it. You got to keep growing up there. And I saw, you know, I watch the minor league kids because my job working with Chuck, they love the minor league, showing the people in the minor league level. And I think what I see pitching-wise, we always show when they do good. That's the key of it. We don't show when those guys struggle. But I think the arm we see there, young arm, they're going to come out together. But every time I start, I don't know, Montgomery going to play a shortstop. I don't know. We're talking about Carl Rickham, Alex Rodriguez, even Derek Jeter was the small guy either. You know, he was skinny, but he wasn't small. I don't know if this kid is going to be a third base in the future, or they're going to keep it in a shortstop. I hope they keep it in a shortstop because that's a very, very tough position, very interesting position, and very key position. But I see his size, his swing. I don't know. I think this kid is going to be a third baseman.
Ozzie, I got to have you. It sounds like you have. Sounds like you've cooled down since 2 days ago on that very unique ball game where they were hit up, where Andrew Vaughn was hit up for interference. The game ends like sudden death in that game. Have you heard any explanations about that game that have made sense to you yet?
Oh, yes. I talked to the umpires. I talked to a couple umpires, friend of mine, very good friend of mine. One is a crew chief. And I was very confused by the play. I think it's a very, very weird play. the way you look at it as a fan, is a broadcasting, is a media, is a player, is a manager. But in the meanwhile, it's a rule. And explain to me very specific about instruction of the runner and interference. That's a two thing different. When the instruction is when you play different, interference when you are offense. I know I wish I can disagree with him. I wish I can disagree with him because I never seen see that before. I might see it before, but I never see in the game like that. That's one thing about it. Maybe put it that way is better. In the game like that, it's like, and it takes a lot of guts to the umpire to do it. And
yeah,
I think
yes.
My pro to him because when you make that decision, you know you have to be 10,000% right. Uh-huh. Why? Because they're going to go to the league, they're going to call the umpires, they're going to call the league, they're going to see everybody look at it. With the umpires I talked to, he was watching the video when I was on the phone with him, and he said, Ozzy, unfortunately, we had to throw to the umpire because a lot of guys will see that. A lot of guys will see that. And that means the umpire he was in the right place, the right position, and the right guts to do that. If I like the call, hell no. I thought when the guy was talking to me, I still was furious. And Perry, this umpire been in the big league for a long time. But he explained to me, he told me every details about the play. And unfortunately, hey, he worked out for the White Sox at all. And I told the umpire, if that wasn't me, I will be suspended for 10 days without knowing the rules. The rules is the rules. Umpire was good. The umpire, it took me like 20 minutes to agree with the umpires I was talking to. But he went through everything. He went through everything. The only thing he's not went through, you don't know who the runner was. And he say the runners, the shortstop look at him. And after that, I got to say yeah, but people look at the fly ball. Most of the people look at fly ball, but the third base umpire was looking what he had to look. And hey, my pro to the umpire, but the third base umpire, because I was upset about it.
Hey man, you were gonna pull a Hawk Harrelson. I was watching that. You were gonna go down there. You were gonna get up and leave Chuck all alone.
It was because I was upset about it. Because man, they come back, they make everything something going on. Baltimore wasn't playing well, but in the end of the day, I couldn't hold. I had to call. Unfortunately, we know how the game yesterday. But I did talk to the umpire by around 10 o'clock in the morning, asking. He don't know exactly what I asked. And he went to his computer in that particular time, and they sent that play to all the crew chief in baseball. Mm. Everyone. They sent it to see, because it was a tough call. It was.
Yeah.
To see. I think the umpire feel proud about it. They should. Because they saw something we never see. I never did it. And I'm very proud of the umpire's chief, whoever command that, to send that tape to everyone to look at it and review everything about it and they see wrong or right. And it was right 100%.
Ozzy, you're the best, man.
Ozzy, you can hear him on Mully and Haw on The Score, a regular contributor on The Score. Ozzy, thanks so much for calling in. You never know who's going to call in on Inside the Clubhouse. Ozzy, have a great day.
I want to call you guys back every Saturday, but I can't. All right, guys, have a good one.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Still learning from you guys, believe me or not, I do.
You're the best, Ozzy. Hey, caller Ozzy, we'll take that every day. Along with Bruce Levine, I'm Mark Grody. We are late for a break, and well worth it, on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
High and inside, arching music, a little chin music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
I know the rule, the final play. I understand it. I don't like the rule, you know. I get it. I get that it's an infield fly rule. I get that it was called right away. I understand it, you know, but I don't have to like it, you know, and I just don't like the rule. I think that rule, you know, needs to be to a point where if that fielder is impeded by the runner to catch the baseball, then I can see it. But in this situation, you know, he's camped in the middle of the infield, you know, with his arms out, you know, waiting for the ball to come down. So I understand the rule. I understand how they called the rule. That I'm okay with that. I just don't like the rule. I don't think a game should end like that. You know, that's just my opinion.
It was the White Sox ninth inning on Thursday against the Baltimore Orioles. The Sox were down 8-2 to the O's. The Sox score 4 to make it 8-6, and then the fun would begin. Craig Kimbrel in now as he was facing Andrew Benintendi with runners on first and second and one out. Benintendi pops out to shortstop. Infield fly rule, batter is out. The man at second base was Andrew Vaughn. He gets called out for interfering with the shortstop, Gunnar Henderson. And then we have the fireworks, the postgame show, and everybody's got an opinion.
Baseball rule 601A states that a interference is called whether a player overtly or inadvertently gets in the middle of a fielder being able to make a putout or a play. So the umpire at second base made this call, not considering a bunch of different things, but only the spirit of the rule itself that, hey, the shortstop had to move away from the runner going back to second base, so therefore I'm calling an out. So that had nothing to do with the infield fly rule, which the hitter was automatically out. The question here, Mark, that I have, and that baseball officials from the people I've called and talked to are talking about is, in the umpire's discretion, did he have to make the call?
That's the question.
And my question for you is, did he have to make the call? And because the call was the last out of a ball game where a team was coming back, and the White Sox had already rallied for 4 runs, had the 2 tying runs in scoring or on base, should that discretion change the umpire's ruling because of the gravity of the time of game that it occurred? And in the umpire's opinion, he will talk and has talked about, I saw the impediment of the fielder. I made the call. I did my job. The other part of the job is, because of knowing the situation in the ninth inning, ending the game, do I make that call? Mm. And that was entirely up to the umpire. And that is where the fine line of this argument goes, and this debate, why we're still talking about it 2 days later, why everybody in baseball, including all the umpires and Major League Baseball officials, are trying to define, do you make that call automatically, or does the time of the game and the discretion for the umpire prevail?
If you have discretion, and as you laid out, you do, you absolutely do not use it in that scenario in a baseball game in May, in the ninth inning of a game. You do not use it. Now, at the same time...
Same time he was right.
He was right, and I'm impressed that they got it right, that you're able to call the infield fly rule easy, but in the midst of that, you got the call right, so I'm actually impressed with the umpires. However, Bruce...
He called it right away.
Yes, he did. I mean,
if
so
you
that's,
see the tape,
yeah,
you'll see the umpire looking at the play. doing his job at second base, looking at the runner, looking at the fielder, seeing there he had to go around him to make the play, which he easily did, which is another part of it, and then calling it out, not thinking about anything else other, I got to do my job. This play occurred on the infield fly. Uh-oh, wait a minute. It's the end of the game. This team was coming back. Do I really have to make the call? And that's where we're at.
We've all had the benefit now to take a deep breath since then. However, I felt exactly like John Schriffen felt in the heat of the moment.
Benintendi pops it up on the infield. And Henderson will make the catch. They called infield fly rule. No, they called interference.
They're calling him out. They're calling, I believe they're calling the game over.
Wait a minute. They're calling game over. They're saying Andrew Vaughn interfered with Henderson at short. Let's take a look at this, Steve.
Well, Andrew did not do anything intentionally to deal at all with Henderson because he never saw him. Look, he doesn't know where Henderson is. Henderson's in back of him.
And he's just going back to the bag.
And he chooses to go around him. You got to go
back
to the bag.
No, they can't end the game like this. That cannot be how this game ends.
That's a terrible call. Andrew had no idea where he was, and Henderson went around him. He didn't interfere. He made the catch. It was an automatic out anyway. This is a horrible ending for this game.
We've seen some bad calls this season. That is one of the worst calls I have ever seen. That is terrible.
No. That part he got wrong. No. I mean, that was the right call.
Right. It was the right call, yeah. But the inference that they're talking about of, hey, you just can't end this game this way. The White Sox were coming back. They had a chance to tie it. It's the ninth inning. The game's over. We can't let this happen. So, therefore, no one's going to Dairy Queen afterwards, okay? You've ruined the entire night for everybody, okay? And in to the letter of the law, the umpire was right. To the discretion of whether he should call it or not, that is the rule being analyzed going forward. It's a great discussion. It's a horrible thing for the Sox to lose a game like that. But, Mark, everybody did their job.
Yeah.
You know, everyone did their job properly.
That said, it'll never, ever, ever be called again.
The ninth inning with two outs?
Ever.
First of all.
Ever. I don't even think it's going to be called again in the fifth inning
probably,
with one out and nobody on base.
It probably won't happen for 5 or 6 years that a circumstance where the infielder ran into the runner going back to second
base. If it's egregious, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's in.
He made the out, and that's what the contentious part of it is.
Yeah. Yes.
He easily bumped into the runner, got around him, made the out. You know, so again, the end of that rule is, of course, infield fly rule, runners advance at their own discretion and jeopardy. You still have to go back and tag, but if the ball is dropped, you can advance regardless, okay? So there's a lot of things to an infield fly rule that goes, you know, what do I have to do? And Vaughn was not considering moving on because he was going back. He wasn't waiting for the shortstop to catch it and then go up and back and show him that he might go to third base. He did the right thing. He went back to second base.
What's your go-to Dairy Queen order? If you go to Dairy Queen, are you just a cone guy?
The chocolate dip.
Oh, yeah, the chocolate dip. Yeah. I'm a Blizzard guy, but that's an undeniably good treat as well.
Yeah. You know, you just bite the tip of it, and, you know, you have the chocolate vanilla combo going
on. That's good.
I mean,
the crunch makes it.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, when we come back, Bruce and I had a moment one time on Inside the Clubhouse. We had, I think maybe one of the most infamous moments of all time on Inside the Clubhouse that we'd like to share with you next. We've also got a couple people that want to jump in. If we have time, we'll take some calls as well as we finish up Inside the Clubhouse next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse on The Score along with Bruce Levine. I am Mark Rohde for a few more minutes until Rosenblum to settle down. We'll get to him in a second. Right now, we have to take or we'd like to take, Larry in Naperville. What up, Larry? You're on the score and inside the clubhouse.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Mark. You know, I was a high school umpire. If I'd have made that call in a high school game, I wouldn't be able to get in my car.
Dairy Queen for you
either. Yeah,
no, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't agree with you both saying that this was the right call by the letter of the law.
No, it is.
It is. It literally is the right call.
Let me give you my take.
Okay.
The word in that description and the rule is impede. Okay, I bet you if you talk to Gunnar Henderson, he would not have even dreamed of saying that Vaughn impeded him. And number two, if he were to impede him, I can see it if he had a run, get around Vaughn and come right back in front of Vaughn. That's impeding.
Okay.
This guy was playing behind second base. He saw the ball. It eventually drifted to the middle of the infield. There was no impediment.
How about hindering?
He ran into him. Okay.
He might have touched his uniform.
Right. So okay. So you're not a former umpire. You're not looking at what the end result is going to be. You're only seeing what occurred. He called out before the fielder made the play.
Well, I could see if he tripped. But first of all,
you don't
so
know
quick.
That he's going to catch the ball.
Oh, okay. Listen, I heard MLB radio all day yesterday. I listen to you guys in the morning, but I do veer off the MLB radio every day. There was not one major league player or broadcaster on MLB radio that said what you two guys said today, that it was the right call.
Well, that's why you listen to our show.
Yeah, that's right. You tell MLB radio they got it wrong, sir.
No, look. The umpire's discretion is the thing that we question here.
Yeah.
And the discretion for this particular – let me just ask you before you go. If it happened in the fifth inning, would we be talking about it right now?
He gone.
The answer is no. Mm. The fifth inning,
We'd still be talking about it, but not to this end.
But the umpire did his job.
Yes.
But he could have not done his job – and done his job. Okay.
Shout out to the crew chief Adrian Johnson, who took it on the chin with chin music. That's for sure.
Mark, it's been a pleasure having you here. We thank our great guests, Robbie Trino, our producer, our great guest today, Chip Carey, of course, of the broadcast for the Cardinals, and Ken Rosenthal, the great broadcaster for Fox and The Athletic. Also, thank our secret guest, Ozzy Guillen, for popping in, and for you for sitting in and making a fun show a lot more fun again on a Saturday.
I'm just providing job security for David Haw. Haw will be back next week.
That goes on set.
Yeah, obviously. And yeah, caller Ozzy, what a blast if you missed that.
Rosie is warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah, he's right there. He's got his Walter White hat on. And I imagine he's going to take some people down today. So looking forward to Steve Rosenbloom next. Thank you, Robbie. We'll talk to you guys all later on The Score. Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse on The Score, along with Bruce Levine. I am Mark Rohde for a few more minutes until Rosenbloom to settle down. We'll get to him in a second. Right now, we have to take, or we'd like to take, Larry in Naperville. What up, Larry? You're on The Score and Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Mark. You know, I was a high school umpire. If I'd have made that call in a high school game, I wouldn't be able to get in my car.
Dairy Queen for you
either. Yeah.
No, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't agree with you both saying that this was the right call by the letter of the law.
No, it is.
It is. It literally is the right call.
Let me give you my take.
Okay.
The word in that description and the rule is impede. Okay, I bet you if you talk to Gunnar Henderson, he would not have even dreamed of saying that Vaughn impeded him. And number two, if he were to impede him, I can see it if he had a run, get around Vaughn and come right back in front of Vaughn. That's impeding.
Okay.
This guy was playing behind second base. He saw the ball. It eventually drifted to the middle of the infield. There was no impediment.
How about hindering?
He ran into him. Okay.
He might have touched his uniform.
Right. So okay. So you're not a former umpire. You're not looking at what the end result is going to be. You're only seeing what occurred. He called out before the fielder made the play.
Well, I could see if he tripped. But first of all,
you don't
so
know
quick.
That he's going to catch the ball.
Oh, okay. Listen, I heard MLB radio all day yesterday. I listened to you guys in the morning, but I do veer off the MLB radio every day. There was not one major league player or broadcaster on MLB radio that said what you two guys said today, that it was the right call.
Well, that's why you listen to our show.
That's right. You tell MLB radio they got it wrong, sir.
No, look, the umpire's discretion is the thing that we question here.
Yeah.
And the discretion for this particular – let me just ask you before you go. If it happened in the fifth inning, would we be talking about it right now?
He gone.
The answer is no. Mm. The fifth inning,
We'd still be talking about it, but not to this end.
But the umpire did his job.
Yes.
But he could have not done his job and done his job. Okay?
Shout out to the crew chief, Adrian Johnson, who took it on the chin with chin music. That's for sure.
Mark, it's been a pleasure having you here. We thank our great guests, Robbie Trino, our producer, our great guest today. Chip Carey, of course, of the broadcast for the Cardinals, and Ken Rosenthal, the great broadcaster for Fox and The Athletic. Also, thank our secret guest, Ozzy Guillen, for popping in, and for you for sitting in and making a fun show a lot more fun again on a Saturday.
I'm just providing job security for David Haw. Haw will be back next week.
That goes on set.
Yeah, obviously. And yeah, caller Ozzy, what a blast if you missed that.
Rosie is warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah, he's right there. He's got his Walter White hat on. And I imagine he's going to take some people down today. So looking forward to Steve Rosenbloom next. Thank you, Robbie. We'll talk to you guys all later on The Score.